strive to create things. You're a writer, a photographer, a musician, a maker. You're ready to make things happen.
But chasing creative isn't always easy. Your time and energy go to your work, your family, and your life. Is it really possible to make space for the creative in your everyday?
Here at the Chasing Creative Podcast, we believe you can. We're everyday creatives who have insights and action steps you can take today to make your creative plans happen.
I'm Ashley Brooks, a freelance writer and editor at Brooks Editorial and a work-at-home mom of two. I would love to devote more time to creative writing, journaling, and blogging.
And I'm Abigail Creeves, a writer and photographer behind Inkwells and Images. I'm also a work-at-home mom who's just beginning to learn the ropes of balancing a baby and everything else.
And you are listening to the Chasing Creative Podcast.
Hello, we are back with season 4 of Chasing Creative, and it is really exciting to finally be recording again, Ashley.
Yes, it is. It has been a nice long break, and I think it was one that was much needed by both of us. But it just feels like it's time to be getting back to this. I think we've both missed it. I've definitely missed our regular conversations.
Yes, absolutely. And there's not enough time in the day to like send you ridiculously long emails to cover what would have been a 45-minute conversation.
Yeah, we've tried that. It doesn't work very well.
No. At least like 10 or 12 days go by before one of us gets a chance to respond to the other. And by then we've got a whole host of other things to talk about. So it's very inefficient.
Yeah, what we're learning is that we would make very terrible pen pals.
Probably, yes. Because then you'd have to like walk it to the mailbox and that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. But in any case, we're very excited to be back with season 4. And in case you didn't catch it at the end of season 3, we decided to do something a little bit different this time around, where we are not going to interview any guests this season. We're just going to have some creative conversations between the two of us, both to give ourselves a little bit of a break and to dig deeper into our own creative lives, because we have spent a lot of time kind of covering the range of what guests in all different types of creative industries do. But we found that we have some thoughts we would like to add to the conversation as well.
Yes. And as I think we mentioned last time as well, setting up guests takes a lot of work. And so we're hoping that by kind of eliminating that third voice on the podcast and also all of the time that it takes to get things set up and pick a date between all three people's crazy schedules, that it'll be a lot easier to create podcasts and easier to get them out to you guys. So we're hoping that it just takes a little bit of pressure off Ashley and I and makes it a little bit easier to have fun and to keep this more sustainable of a project, I think.
Yeah, so we're pretty excited for that because it just means that we're keeping the podcast flexible and bending it to fit what we need in our lives, which is what we always had planned for it in the first place. So it means we're right on track with what we need it to do.
Yes, and that doesn't mean we won't ever, ever interview people ever again. We would love to interview people in the future, but right now I think we just need to take a little bit of a chill on that and make it a bit more manageable.
Yes, for sure. And we've also got like a lot of big changes that have happened in our lives since we last finished recording, and we're going to go a little bit more deeper into that in our next episode, where we're going to give you kind of a rundown of a day in the life right now. But, you know, for starters, like Abby has had a baby, little Arthur.
I did. Yes. Arthur was born in April. So he's about 4 months now while we're recording this, and it's been life-changing. I think everyone kind of warns you about that, and I don't think you can really comprehend until it's like the baby is there and you are taking care of it 24/7. So
yes,
he's a pretty happy baby, which is really nice. Like 90% of the time he's just good to go, except bedtime, which is why I'm currently recording in my bedroom closet so I cannot hear him protest.
You know, I feel like recording in the closet is like a rite of passage for podcasters who are also moms.
It seems to be the case. I know Kendra used to record in a closet. I don't know if she still does or not. At the Lazy Genius, that was a fun episode with her in season 1.
Yeah, I think people just have to find the space for them and make it work, even with the kids around, which is kind of the point of half of our podcast, right? Is like, find the time and the space for your creativity and make it work, even if it's in the closet.
Exactly. So, yeah, so I had a baby. Ashley's baby turned one, which is also kind of crazy. Yes.
Yeah, so when we started this podcast, Hadley was like 9 months old, maybe. And now Hadley is three, and my second baby, Reagan, just turned one. Their birthdays are a week apart, so double birthday parties. That was lots of fun. And Hadley will be headed off to preschool for a couple days a week, just half days. But I'm looking forward to having a little bit of extra time with at least just one child to wrangle instead of two. That'll regain a little bit of sanity here on my end, hopefully.
Yeah, it's probably going to feel a little bit like vacation.
Yes, I'm thinking it will, although the preschool schedule is pretty light. Like, their spring break is 2 weeks and their Christmas break is like a month and a half. So you look at the schedule and it's like, how often are you even in school? But that's okay.
I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I mean, otherwise, other big news, I got laid off from my job. I think we covered that in the last episode of season three. So I kind of accidentally became a stay-at-home mom, which was my goal eventually, but I wasn't expecting to, you know, have a baby and lose a job in, like, I think within 5 weeks of each other. It was kind of intense. So now I'm kind of attempting to just do some freelance work to kind of fill in the gaps and be a work-at-home mom, kind of like Ashley, on accident. So lots of changes.
Yeah. So do you feel like now that you've had the baby, like having the extra time to stay home with him has been like sort of a blessing in disguise? Or were you like itching to go back to work at the time you normally would have been going back?
No, not itching to go back at all. Mostly because my child doesn't sleep.
Yeah, that sleep deprivation is real.
Yeah, but it was also nice in those first few weeks when like life was just chaotic and breastfeeding was going horribly wrong and all of these things. Like, I didn't have a deadline. Like, well, I've got to get this figured out by, you know, July 10th, because that's when I go back to work. I had a lot more wiggle room than a lot of new moms. And I think that was kind of a saving grace. So, blessing in disguise, enjoyed that. On the flip side, there wasn't anything motivating me to like get on a good schedule as quickly as possible. So I think I got kind of lazy too with not having anything to go back to. Mm-hmm. And so we're just now like at 4 months really making Arthur, and not even making Arthur, but kind of encouraging him to like do the same things at the same time every day so that life can have some semblance of normalcy, if that's even possible with babies.
Yeah, we had that similar thing with Hadley where I was like, part of it was just that I didn't know what to do with her. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know how to put her on any sort of a schedule. And it's been a lot better with Reagan, partially because she's a happier baby. And also because Hadley already had her schedule and her routine. And I was like, okay, kid, well, we've got to go grocery shopping. So you're going to nap before that. And it gets easier. You kind of figure it out. But now we've got recording the podcast to add back into the routine. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's a little bit more structure again, even though we record kind of whenever all of our children happen to, fingers crossed, be sleeping at the same time.
Yes, maybe. That would be miraculous if like we fell into a consistent weekly routine of record on Mondays at, you know, 7 p.m. because that's when all our kids sleep. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah. It would be pretty nice if we could do that. That was one thing with the guest schedule, was sometimes we would have like 2 weeks without recording, and then we would have a week where we were recording three or four nights in a row, mm-hmm. because that's just when it worked out for people. And that was kind of tough, like on our just regular lives too. So hopefully this season four is just a bit of a breather, but still a chance to return to podcast land.
Yes. And I like how too, when we started scheduling guests that first season, we kind of forgot that time zones existed.
And yes, we did.
We would be like, oh, we'll record at, you know, 7 p.m. But then for our guest in California, it was 5 p.m. and she was trying to get dinner on the table. And it was interesting. So we're kind of glad to have that that piece of the equation just completely taken out for the season. Since Ashley and I are both on Central Time, it makes it nice.
Yes. Yeah. And being that we were on Central Time, the time zones could have been so much worse, where like if we were on Eastern Time and someone else was on Pacific, like that would have been really tough. But so at least we were kind of in the middle. But again, this will be a good change, I think. So I don't know. Did we have anything else to talk about other than mini book club, of course, before we wrap up this first episode of season four?
I don't know. I think we're kind of rusty at this podcasting thing.
We are. It's been a while.
So, Ashley, what does creativity look like in your life right now? In what, like, little tiny bits of creative time you can scrap together?
You know, I've just been starting to get back into creative work this summer. So as we're recording this, it's like mid to late August, and it's really only been for the last month, I would say, that I've been making space for creative work. Once the podcast was wrapped up in season three, my work schedule really picked up, which I had anticipated it would, because that was my busy season. And I've just been working like 5 to 10 hours a week more than I would like to. So it was pretty much that was all I had time for. I was working early in the morning, I was working late at night. It didn't feel very balanced, and August has been the first month where I felt like I can actually sit back and take a breath. So I've been doing a little bit more creative writing. You might remember in season three, I said that I was starting a personal blog, and I still have not started it. But I have made more progress on getting that website up and running in the last week than I have since January of 2017.
Awesome.
So heading in the right direction. Hopefully we're making a lot more space for creativity now that it's fall. And I feel like my life is just like, whoosh, I'm back. Okay.
Well, and summer is
how about
such
you?
I was going to say summer is such a hard time to like add anything new to your plate. So if you're already in a busy season of work and then like, oh, hey, we went away for the weekend. I just feel like even if you were on the ball and all caught up before you left for that weekend away, like everything just falls out of place when you get back and you're trying to play catch up. So I think summer's the hardest time to add anything new.
Oh, yeah. There were a couple of up north vacations where I was like in this tiny little town searching for a Wi-Fi signal. And we finally found one at a coffee shop, and I was sitting outside using their Wi-Fi, and they closed at like 4 o'clock because it was a tiny town, and they turned off their Wi-Fi when they left. I was like, no,
no way. That's crazy.
Yeah. So that was because my sister-in-law was also using the internet. So we were like, why is this happening? But we found the library, so it was all right. But I had to work on two vacations that I was not hoping to work at over the summer. So it's been a little busier than I hoped it would be, but things really feel like they've settled down now. So life is good.
Yeah. When it's one of those things where you're like, yay, my business is growing and expanding and I'm getting more work than I need, but I don't want it.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So how about you? Are you able to find space for anything creative when you're kind of coming out of that newborn haze?
Yeah, I feel like the last probably 10 days has been a turning point. And I don't know if it's just Arthur kind of turning 4 months and really kind of falling into more of a rhythm than he has been in the past. But I feel like I can at least predict that I will have a few hours here and there throughout the day to do anything. And so then I can kind of prioritize, like, got to do paid work first, obviously. And, you know, we should probably have clean laundry once in a while. But then after that, like, I don't have to fill every single moment of nap time with stuff that has to be done. I can kind of start doing some more fun stuff, or at least I can see that I'm going to be able to do some more fun stuff. So that has been really good mentally, definitely, and emotionally, just being able to be like, okay, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We got this.
Yeah, that's a really, really nice feeling when you hit that. And it took me a long time to get there with Hadley. I think partially because I already had a business going at that point. So my paid work took up, you know, I was used to running it full time, and then I was trying to scale it back without dropping clients. So that was really tricky. That was a really tough time for me. So it's nice that you've already discovered that, like, oh, I can take this time and just like not do work and not do chores and just like sit and be and drink my coffee or do whatever, read a book.
Yes, there have been a few nap times where I'm like, nope, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to read a book because that's what I need to do right now. And on the other hand too, like I'm kind of let myself completely off the hook for any outside work this year. Like we built our house in December and moved in. And so we don't have a yard right now. Like our entire yard is just rock. Like enormous hunks mm-hmm. of rock as far as the eye can literally see. So we're like, well, if we don't put in grass, we don't have to take care of it this year. And so we're not. We're being really lazy and just not doing that. And also money, because we're going to have to haul in a ton of dirt and a ton of grass. And who has time for that? So I'm kind of like, yeah. Yay, no yard work. There's no flower beds. There's no garden or anything like that. Just being really nice and lazy with that kind of thing, it means I don't have to spend every spare second doing something. I can't have a little bit of me time. Next year, probably not the same case, but at least I'll have a kid who doesn't eat every 2 hours anymore.
Yes, that definitely makes a difference. Although I will say that now that I have a 1-year-old, I have forgotten that even though she doesn't eat every 2 hours, it can take her about 2 hours to eat one meal because nice. She's picking through her finger food and taking her time and eating and eating and eating. I am amazed at how much 12-month-old babies can eat. So impressive. Anyway, you have that to look forward to.
So do you ever like take her outside and give her food so you can go get something done?
Yeah, sometimes. Or we'll just like, I'll let Hadley go when she's done eating and I'll just sit at the table with Reagan and read a book or something. And I think I've actually heard Kendra say that she does that with her baby Annie, or she mm-hmm. used to anyway when she was younger. She was like, it takes them so long to eat. I just sit there and read. I'm like, I've done that.
That is just look so over and
make sure they're
smart.
Not choking.
Yeah, because obviously yeah. Arthur has not started eating real food yet and isn't going to for a little while yet, but I'm already like dreading it. I was like, okay, on top of everything else you have to do, you also have to sit there and feed this child. So that's that is a life hack I'm going to use.
Yep. Yeah. Look forward to it.
I will do that. So no big creativity projects in my life at the moment, but I can see them coming up, which I, like I said, is really, really nice. I'm hoping at some point to get back to blogging. I think I've blogged once in the last 6 or 8 months. It's kind of sad. So yeah, you and I both have that personal blog goals.
All right, we will see if maybe at least one of us accomplishes it before this season of the show is over. We can only hope, right?
That would be great. So, or maybe we can make it like a race and see if that motivates one or the other of us.
That wouldn't motivate me. I'd just be like, oh, no, you can have it.
Okay. So here we find who's the...
You got this. I'll cheer for you.
And in which we discover the competitive half of the podcast is Abby. So...
Yep.
Good to know. But yeah, that's, yep. I mean, that's kind of life as we know it at the moment. So I guess let's talk books, because books are way more fun than talking about all the things we haven't done yet this year. How is your reading life going this summer?
Yeah, so I had one goal this summer, and that was to read more classic books. And I did not read one, although I purchased several. I just did not read them, which is a bad habit I have. I buy books that I'm really excited about or that are really pretty. And then I like kind of set them by the wayside because my library holds came in or there was a Kindle deal and I had to jump on that. And so other things always get moved to the top of the list. So I haven't made it to any classics. I am still reading the book about the magicians, Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, which is like over 1,000 pages long. I have talked about this book so many times on this podcast. I'm very close to being done, though. My Kindle tells me that I only have like an hour and a half left.
Oh.
So I can't stop at this point because I am very close. And I did give in and start. I started watching the Netflix series, and it's actually super good. And I left off in the Netflix series about the same spot that I'm at in the books. Ooh. So I'm going to try and finish the book and then go back and watch the rest of the episodes. That's like my motivation to finish the TV show is like, I have to finish the book.
Yes, you do. And I think we've mentioned this before. I have that book sitting on my nightstand. And if you like lay it on its back, like a book you normally would, it's as tall as your hand is wide. So this is a feat. This is an accomplishment that Ashley has done over the summer.
Yes, everyone be proud of me.
Yes.
I'm almost done with a book.
An enormous, enormous book. So for me, for reading, I didn't read for like 2 months, I don't think, after Arthur was born, because there just were not enough hands and brain power and brain cells. It just didn't happen. But once I did start reading again, I found that it's much easier right now to read ebooks than paper books. Because you can, you know, mm-hmm. turn pages on an ebook with one hand while holding a baby, and that's pretty life-saving. So lots of ebooks. Yes. And even discovering that you can check out ebooks both from Amazon and from your library has been awesome. So I've kind of been reading things that are available at the moment, which hasn't really led to checking a lot of books off my long-term to-read list, but has at least been providing some entertainment, which is nice. So that's good. Lots of ebooks. I'm trying to think of the best book I read this summer, and I have to say it was A Man Called Ove. And I don't know if I say his name right. It's by...
Okay, every time I look at that book, I want to say that it's like A Man Called Oven, because I feel like there should be an N on the... Okay, so the name is O-V-E, and in my head, I just put an N, and I always think oven, and I'm like, wait, no, that's not right.
I think it's Ove, because it's a Swedish book written by Frederick Bachman, I believe. But anyway, I read that book and immediately told a friend who told me to read it. I was like, this is literally a perfect novel. I rarely ever said that about a book at all ever in the history of my reading life. But it will make you laugh and cry, and it's happy and it's sad and it's heartwarming. It was just a beautiful, beautiful book. So I highly recommend that one to everybody.
I have seen that cover go by a lot. I've seen the movie come up on like Amazon Prime, I think. And I just haven't even put it on my list, really. Like, it just doesn't look like it would appeal to me. But then I hear how much you like it, and I'm like, maybe I should put it on the list. Maybe I should just add it and take a chance.
Yeah. Well, I won't give anyone any spoilers by any means, but on page, I'm going to say like 8, there is a moment where the premise of the story is there's a grumpy old man named Ove, and he gets new neighbors who are really annoying to him. And his new neighbors are moving in, and the gentleman moving in is trying to, like, back up their U-Haul trailer, essentially. And he's doing it all wrong, and he hits Ove's mailbox. And so Ove has to go out and intervene. This is on page 8. And the quote that I remember from memory is... A lower arm amputee with cataracts could back up a trailer better than you. And I just remember, like, sitting on our couch laughing hysterically at 9 o'clock at night because I ran across that line. And Scott's just looking at me like I'm a crazy person. But I'm like, this is you. This is you when you're 80 years old. You're going to be this grumpy old man yelling at neighbors who can't back up a trailer appropriately. So.
I was just picturing Jacob saying that because our neighbors across the street, whenever they back their boat into the driveway, he sits there and he's like, you don't get to drive on the neighbor's grass just because it's flat.
So yes, I think you will greatly enjoy this book, and you should definitely read it. And if Jacob is a reader, he should also probably read it.
He's not, but that's okay. I'll read it and then just tell him about anything that was worth noting.
Yes, read all the funny parts.
See, now that line drew my attention. Yeah. Now you knew how to get me to read the book. Yeah. Now what's going on the list?
And it's not even like the only line in the book that'll make you laugh. It's just hilarious.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Although that also makes me think of the old man from Up.
Yes.
I forget what his name is but Carl? You know, with the mailbox. And yeah, Carl, that's it. Carl and Ellie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what that made me think of too.
Very much. If I had to like compare it to anything, now that you say that, it would be the short film Up. Like, it's Up, but in novel length. And it's really well written and I think really well translated. So I think you'll enjoy it.
Wonderful. On the list it goes.
Yep. So aside from your mega enormous book that you've been reading, have you read anything else that was really stellar this summer that everyone else should read as well?
It's been kind of hit or miss this summer. One that I read that I really enjoyed is Reading People by Anne Bogle. She's the blogger over at Modern Mrs. Darcy, and she's also the host of the What Should I Read Next podcast, which if anybody doesn't listen to that, but they like the part of the podcast where we talk about books, they should probably go listen to that. Yes. Because that would be a new favorite. So it's not out yet, although by the time this podcast comes out, it probably will be. But I was on the launch team for it, so I got the early like ebook copy. And it's basically about different personality tests and how you can use different personality frameworks to not influence different parts of your life, but how you can use them to kind of like improve your life in different ways, or you learn what the different frameworks are good for helping you out with. Okay. So she talks about, you know, StrengthsFinder, the temperaments, Myers-Briggs, which I know we're both fans of. So it's just, if you're into personality types, which I really am, I think it's a pretty interesting read, especially if you want to get more into them, but you don't know a ton about them. It's a really great introduction.
Oh, I like that. I am kind of a nerd when it comes to personality types, so I will definitely pick that up when it comes out.
Yeah, I think we've talked about those before here. Yeah. You're an INTJ, right?
I am.
Yeah, yes. I'm INFP.
INFP, mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know what that says about us.
So, you know, I know. Now we're just sitting here like, But if you read the book, she's got some pretty good insights about that. Like, there was this whole facet of, I thought I was like a pretty big Myers-Briggs nerd. Mm-hmm. There's this whole facet of Myers-Briggs that I did not know, like the cognitive functions.
Oh.
Do you know about those at all?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, so apparently this is like the biggest point of the whole test, and most people never get into them because most websites don't talk that much about it. And she has like a whole chapter on it, and it was like mind-blowing. It was very informative, but still easy to access, even though it's kind of confusing. I'm pretty excited to have like a paper copy of the book because, you know, I just like being able to underline things in paper sometimes instead of having to go back to my Kindle notes. So yes, recommend that one if you're into personality stuff. If you could not care less about personality, then don't read it.
That is a good distinction. So, well, excellent. So I love how you picked a nonfiction book and I picked fiction. I think you might read more nonfiction than I do.
You know, I read about equal fiction and nonfiction. I thought I read more nonfiction, but when I go back and look at my Goodreads, I read about equal. It's just that I read fiction so much faster. Mm-hmm. That my nonfiction books spread out a little bit longer, and I feel like I'm reading more of them, but I'm not. They just take a little bit longer. Although fiction has been kind of hit or miss for me lately. The Gollum and the Ginny I just finished was pretty good. That's kind of like if anybody has read Gods in America by Neil Gaiman. I have not read that, but I hear this book compared to that one a lot. It was a pretty slow start, but the writing was good. I liked it towards the end. That was probably, I don't even know if I would call that my favorite fiction book this year, because you sent me The Sun is Also a Star, yes, which was amazing, but it was like a totally different genre from The Gollum and the Ginny. So I feel like I can't compare them. The Gollum and Ginny was a little bit more like historical fiction, and it was long and super in depth. And The Sun is Also a Star is young adult fiction. I think I read it in like less than 24 hours. Yes. It was really good. I would call it like the perfect airplane read or the perfect beach read, because it had so much substance, but it was very easy to read. I loved it.
Yes. And who doesn't need a read like that for summer, where it's, you know, two teenagers who fall in love and just, you get like just completely sucked into their story.
The pacing was so good on that book. Like, it takes place, except for the end, like the very, very end, the epilogue, it takes place in like one day. But you totally forget almost. Like, the character development in one day is insane.
It is. It's pretty impressive. So I really liked that one. And then I immediately requested Nicola, I want to say is how you, Nicola Yoon, Y-O-O-N is her name. So I immediately requested the other book that she has. She only has two novels out right now, which is a tragedy. her first book is called Everything, Everything. And that was also good. And, you know, same thing, kind of like light YA, but with a good substance to it. It's not kind of, sometimes you read YA and you're like, meh, I'm not going to recommend that to anyone. But Everything, Everything was also good. The Sun is Also Stars better, but Everything, Everything is worth reading.
And that makes me kind of, not sad, I guess, but Everything, Everything is a movie that's coming out soon.
Oh.
And I sort of wish, like, I haven't read everything, but I'm just going off of you saying mm-hmm. that The Sun Is Also a Star was better. It makes me wish that that's not the one that was being made into a movie. I wish it was The Sun Is Also a Star yeah. instead. So maybe that one will have its day.
Probably. If the first one does good at all, I'm sure the second one will be as well. I don't know. Aside from books, I don't think I have anything else for our first podcast of season 4. You?
I don't either. So I think we will just be back in our second episode next week with a day in the life for both of us. So you can sort of see how we're fitting in work and life and creativity and occasionally doing things like dishes and laundry and, you know, sleeping, etc.
I think it'll be interesting. Maybe, I don't know, I think a day in the life could be boring, but I have a feeling that our days look very different. So let's see what they hold.
Yes. Well, until next time then. Thanks for listening to the Chasing Creative podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, be sure to stop by chasingcreative.com to check out the show notes, catch up on past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you'd leave us a review on iTunes. You can also join in the creative conversation by tweeting to us at Abigail E. Creeves or at Brooks Editorial, or by using the hashtag ChasingCreative on Twitter and Instagram.
If you'd like to help us bring this podcast to life each week, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/chasingcreative.
And if you have any feedback for us, drop us a line at chasingcreativepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Until next week, go chase your creative.